This goes out to the worried, this goes out to the stressed, sorting out a million thoughts running through your head. To everyone that's waiting for better days ahead, tired, frustrated, and leaving words unsaid. Please don't hold your breath. why we have breath to praise the Lord. Sometimes you're in the desert, sometimes you feel the pain, sometimes it comes the storm, and sometimes
Chris and Amanda, for leading us in words that hopefully we speak with confidence and receive deeply. Have a seat, and as the children head off to their kids' zone this morning, I'm going to get our youth over here to stand up. Can our youth stand over here? And we're going to direct our eyes over here. Look at this group of people from our youth group who are choosing to learn and to give their talents to the church. Yeah. I thank you that you're doing those jobs because they terrify me. So learn well, and thank you for your mentors in Ben and Ben. We deeply appreciate that. And I know other youth are going and supporting the Kids Zone program this morning. So just so thankful, and thankful for the leaders that on a weekly basis just are doing a deep dive in with our youth. And so we're super thankful for that. I've invited TT this morning to do a reading, but Titi is going to introduce herself and then go through a reading with us. Thanks, Titi. Is
it on? Yeah. Okay, hi. So for everyone who doesn't know me, my name is Itrina Kay, but the community and everybody else knows me as Titi. I've known Catherine and the Gathering Church for around 6 years, and they have had such a big impact on my childhood, but my life as well. One thing I can say is Catherine looks out for everyone. Everyone in the church and the whole community does, but the Gathering Church really brought the community together with their Build a Lunch program, their community suppers, and now we have Snack Attack. They see how important community is, and they build on that knowledge. Waking up every Wednesday and having lunch with the entire community is something I miss so dearly. And if you have ever been able to attend, I think you would say the same. As well as community suppers. Those were the building blocks, the foundation to what we have today. Build-A-Lunch was great, but even that was a little exclusive with the community suppers. They were always on Saturdays, which were super flexible and accessible to people in the community, as well as elsewhere. Through all of this, I can say I've made some great connections and some pretty important relationships with people in this room, all thanks to the work that the Gathering Church started, but we continue. So please listen as I read the invitation of welcome. Gratitude, you are welcome today. I admit I've been standoffish. Doubting you can make much difference, but you help me number my days and see the gifts and notice the small things. Gratitude, you are welcome today. Compassion, you are welcome today. I confess I used to think you were soft. I wanted you, but shamed myself for needing you. But you allow me to breathe again. You soften my gaze. Compassion, you are welcome here today. Grief, you are welcome here today. I'll admit I don't like you. I'll admit I don't like the sound of you, and it's taken me a while to know and name your many faces. But you are my witness, my necessary companion, my expression of hidden losses that need to be expressed. Grief, you are here today. Hope, you are here today, or you are welcome here today. I confess more than once I've rolled my eyes in your general direction, built walls to protect myself against the light, but you are relentless in your pursuit. You must know how vital you are for survival. So hope, you are welcome here today. Mystery, you are welcome here today. I'll tell you the truth, I prefer certainty. I'm sure you hear that a lot, but your vibe is growing on me. The way you invite me deeper, hold my curiosity, and don't talk much. Mystery, you are welcome here today. And God, you are welcome here today. I confess sometimes that line has brought anxiety, indifference, suspicion, or hesitation. Other times it's brought comfort and equanimity. But as the God I've come to know, you embody gratitude, compassion, grief, hope, and misery. God, you are welcome here today. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Deepy. Titi has been through her school writing some poetry and spoken word. She didn't write that piece, but I've had the gift of hearing her read some of them, and I just wanted you to hear her voice and to hear those words that are also meaningful to Titi. So thanks for being here this morning, and Zoya for offering her support. Let's pray. God, you are here, and we are brave when we welcome you here in your fullness. And so we say, God, you are welcome here today. Grief, hope, compassion, gratitude, mystery. You are welcome here today. Amen. If you'd like a copy of that blessing that Titi read, there's a few here, or I can also email it to you. It's something that we can move through it at a slow pace. We can almost journal into each of the welcomings. The last weekend, many of us met in this very same gym. It was on the Friday, and we were allowing ourselves to be open to the sadness and to the pain of Jesus' journey to the cross. We heard and understood in new ways Jesus' suffering, and the suffering of those who loved him, and the suffering of those who participated in the events around his death. And as we listened to the descriptions of Jesus' pathway to the cross, we cringed at the hatred, at the acts of unkindness, at the disregard for Jesus' humanity. And maybe you were brought close to tears as you heard of the ways he was taunted, disgraced, ridiculed, struck, and humiliated. We sat in this gym with the lights out, and the windows covered, seeking to know what it feels like to sit in darkness and in waiting. And we allowed our own stories to intersect with Jesus. We felt our sufferings, and we felt our powerlessness. And we also felt our sorrows as we acknowledged our own participation in causing harm and humiliation to others. We welcomed mystery. While we most often prefer certainties, the mystery of Jesus' crucified body in a tomb invites us to go deeper. We left in quiet sadness. And we were invited to live into that sadness for the in-between days, to not jump from Jesus' death to resurrection without sitting with the grief and our feelings of suffering. We welcomed grief as a necessary companion. And then just 1 week ago today, we again joined in this space to welcome, to celebrate, and to receive the hope of Jesus' resurrection. We heard of the empty tomb. We sang our hosannas. We received the peace, this multidimensional shalom which Jesus offered his followers and us. And we felt Jesus come near to us in the newness of life. We welcomed in hope that is vital to our survival. This year, I have not wanted to move too quickly away from Easter. This year, the 6 weeks of Lent felt very heavy. In Lent, as if you remember, if you went through that season with us, and we welcome God to be present and active in our sufferings, in our confusions, in our shortcomings, and in our confessions. And I don't experience the depth of Lent every year, but this year it seemed particularly weighty. I was wrestling with a personal suffering and seeking just God's compassionate healing, and I was also wrestling with the many sufferings around us. The Daily Food Bank in Toronto communicated that the number of recipients seeking food had quadrupled in the past months. In our region, homelessness is on the rise. We are facing a crisis. Refugees fleeing from Canada due to deportation notices from our own government boarded a boat in hopes of finding safety in the U.S., but instead they drowned in the St. Lawrence River. A young woman we know well through Build a Lunch told me of the painful discrimination that she is experiencing in her first year of university. A parent grieves as their child is experiencing harm. In Lent, it just seemed like this very long list of injustices and suffering, and I felt the weight of it. And so I really, really needed Easter this year. And so I'm letting myself to stay close to it, and I invite you to do the same with me. A dear friend of mine, who is also a friend of the gathering, posted an Easter reflection on her Facebook page this week. And her words articulate the movement from Good Friday living to Easter living, from going through the in-between. And in this space of in-between, it's where she welcomed hope in the midst of grief and found the goodness of God. And I'm going to read Dana's post. Dana wrote, "I clearly remember a dreary day in November 2020, walking through an area in our neighborhood we have affectionately named Cherry Tree Lane. Picture this. This area has two back-to-back cul-de-sacs lined with more than two dozen cherry trees, which are an absolute masterpiece in spring. That day was rainy and gray, and the world was so uncertain and seemed to be so out of control. I clearly remember thinking, spring will come again, and these trees will bloom. And this certainty buoyed me forward, no matter how far off it seemed at the time. As the cherry trees again blossom this year, I realize how desperate I am for them, how desperate I am for spring, for Easter, how desperate I am for a fresh and new around, how desperate I am for fresh and new around me. how I cling to the certain and rhythmic seasons of nature. This past year has been challenging, and no part of my life has felt untouched or right side up. It was only after the first cherry blossoms appeared in the tree in our backyard that I realized how much I needed them. This year, I needed spring. This year, I need Easter. But I forgot to look for it. It just showed up, somehow surprising me. This year, I need those blossoms and the reminder that even in the real life challenges, there is a steady rhythm around me. They represent a step between what was and what I can dare to hope for again. Dana concludes these words with a blessing for us. If you find yourself waiting for dreary days to lift, may you know you are not alone. May you have the courage to reach out to someone who can buoy you for now. May you look toward the day when the blossoms will return for you too. May Easter find you. May something fresh and new sneak up and absolutely surprise you, and soon. Amen. Thank you, Dana. The Easter narrative contains a wide spectrum of emotions. Each emotion is welcome, and each emotion opens up a window for us to see and to experience God with us in our hope and in our grief. In the writing that T.T. read for us this morning, author Emily P. Freeman noted with hesitation that she wanted to welcome a variety of emotions: gratitude, compassion, grief, and hope, and also mystery and God. As she welcomes them, she speaks to the necessity of them in her journey and in our journeys. Her words tell us why she isn't always quick to welcome them, why it is hard, and yet she opens herself to them all, and she invites us to do this also. What do you want to welcome this morning? What do you need to welcome? Following Jesus' death, those who loved him found themselves living in a situation they had never expected, nor did they understand. Though Jesus had forewarned them that he would leave them and promised them that he would return, they just couldn't grab hold of those promises amid what they were experiencing. And I think many of us have found ourselves in such situations like this, where either God doesn't make sense or we can't make sense of God, where we can't grab hold of God's promises or his presence. Amanda read a portion of Luke 24 this morning. And on the morning after they found the empty tomb, two of Jesus' disciples were on a long walk discussing all that had happened. And scripture tells us that their faces were downcast. The Amplified Version of the Bible reads that they were looking brokenhearted. Imagine that look. They were looking brokenhearted. They were walking. They were heartbroken. And Jesus came and started walking with them. Let's hear that again. They were walking and they were heartbroken, and Jesus came and started walking with them, but they didn't recognize him. Scripture tells us of the many reactions of others who followed Jesus. Some wept, some locked themselves in rooms, some were ready to give up on their faith because it all just seemed too confusing and too hard and too far outside of the boundaries that they had set around their faith and their understanding of Jesus. We are wise to stay close to the Easter journey because in our life, we will experience situations that are confusing and alarming. And they're alarming because they are way outside of the boundaries that we have set around Jesus and our faith. But Easter is not a passing comfort. It is not a plastic egg kind of joy. Easter is for when we are in the hard things. When people tell us of their sufferings, they often start by saying something like, "Our day started like any other day, and then wham, everything changed." In their fears, the disciples they locked themselves into a room. But in life, there is absolutely no way to lock the doors of the unwanted. It can feel like hell is breaking loose all around us. Jeremiah, the prophet, is the author of the Book of Lamentations, and he expresses his experience of the unwanted in this way. He says, "My soul has been cast far away from peace. I have forgotten happiness. So I say, my strength has perished, and so has my hope and expectation from the Lord." And yet Jesus bursts into that with a blessing. And he says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." How do you and I receive that blessing of God's comfort when we are experiencing the weight of suffering? The Book of Lamentations, this chapter 3 in Lamentations, offers us ongoing guidance. And we're going to read this together, if I can get that slide up, Ben. Let's read this together from Lamentations 3. "I remember and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. And my soul is downcast within me. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Those are good verses to read together. They remind us that we are not to experience suffering alone, and that together we can see the newness of God's faithfulness together. Jeremiah reminds us and models to us the wise courage during suffering. He allows himself to bring to mind the characteristics and the promises of God. This is the work of the mind that we have been given, to bring to mind the characteristics and the promises of God. He changes his focus from affliction and bitterness to God's great love. He continues on, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, and to the ones who seek him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Let us sit alone in silence, for no one is cast off by the Lord forever. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him." Often when our suffering, our faith, our prayers, our pleading seem really unproductive and unfruitful. But Jeremiah encourages us to take on a posture of waiting quietly with hope until the time of affliction ends. We are invited to focus on truths and promises of God. When the space we find ourselves in feels empty to us, we are encouraged to fill our minds and our hearts with hope. From the moment that our day or that our life or that our situation changes into the hard until the closure or the healing or the relief, we are living in the in-between days. And I love this quote by author Ruth Haley Barton. She writes, "Jesus rules the space of the in-between." The hardest part of waiting is that we do not know how long of a wait we have. I want to acknowledge that waiting is hard, that waiting is not what we want. It's not easy. It's not comfortable. And all of the emotions that we experience in those times are real, and they can feel unrelenting, and they are challenging. It's not easy to wait quietly for God. But our waiting isn't passive waiting. It's a waiting with expectation. It's an active waiting. And though it's not easy or comfortable, it is in the quiet waiting, that quiet, active waiting, that we will find the companionship of God for the journey. After they found the tomb empty, the followers of Jesus did not recognize his presence. He was unfamiliar to them, but he was there with them. He was there. And he was there to offer them hope. And in Luke 24, they describe that they actually felt this hope. They felt something. Luke 24 says, when Jesus was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us? Well, he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. In our suffering, hope will show up in new and unfamiliar ways. Don't be afraid to accept the bits of hope. These little bits will sustain us in the journey. Jeremiah describes his experience of God in the midst of suffering like this. I called on your name, Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your eyes to my cry for my relief. You came near when I called for you, and you said, do not fear. Over and over and over again, the stories of scriptures tell us that God comes near in our deepest, darkest times. In our waiting, we are encouraged to listen carefully both for and to the voice of God. Scripture invites us to wait quietly, to slow our pace. And in doing so, we give ourselves space to hear and to see God. If we are chaotic and full of words towards God, we may miss what God is seeking to say to us or to reveal to us. What words has God spoken to you in the midst of a season of suffering or unknowing? Are any of these words of God familiar to you? I give you my peace. Do not be afraid. I am here. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I see you. This is not the end. Be strong and courageous. Find refuge in the shelter of my wings. I often reference Terry's accident. This is because it was one of the darkest periods in my life and in my faith. And it's still fresh. In the minutes and the days following his accident, everything within me was chaotic. I could not be still. I couldn't sleep. I cried loudly. I ranted loudly. I raged loudly at God. I felt like I was drowning in grief. I deeply value Jeremiah's words. He says to God, you, Lord, took up my case. You redeemed my life. I felt like God took up my case. Slowly, I was able to see the gifts being given to me. The right people came with words of hope that I slowly began to accept. Long periods of time spent in quiet that are very, very unfamiliar to me. began to soothe my unsettledness. Words of one particular song allowed me to trust in God's presence again. And a book on God in grief brought understanding to what I was experiencing. Time with a counselor brought relief to the sadness. I remember telling a wise friend during that time that I couldn't pray. Because I didn't know how to address God. In that time of pain, my spirit just wouldn't allow me to say in prayer, loving God or holy God. This wise friend invited me not to try so hard, to trust that God didn't need my words or my prayers, that it was okay just to rest and to wait. And then one day, I heard from deep within my soul a new name spoken to Jesus, to God. And all of a sudden, out of the deepest place within me, I said, gentle companion. And in those words, another piece of the darkness was pressed away. Gentle companion. It's been over 3 years now since the accident, and only recently have I been able to welcome gratitude into the experience. And more, I can see the deep evidence of God in that whole experience. I have allowed myself to welcome mystery of a really hard accident, and I've allowed myself to welcome and to see God bit by bit in that experience. And though it remains a most unwanted time, I can see that it has transformed my faith and it has allowed me to experience how God creates rivers in the dry wasteland. Isaiah 43 reads, "But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wastelands." God tends to us, He heals us, and He brings new order while we are in the wild places. Well, we are in the wilderness. And if you are in the wilderness or in a wild place this morning, this is God's message to you. And it is the power of the resurrection which allows for these new hopes and new pathways. And though we wish we could hurry the resurrection into our wilderness and into our wild places, the promise is that it will break through. That the resurrected Jesus will say our names while we are still in tears, and that the resurrection will walk through something that we thought that we had locked, and it will blow past all of the boundaries that we have put up, and it will bring life, and it will bring hope, and it will bring renewal. Therapist and writer Christy Bauman experienced what I think would be a parent's worst nightmare, the death of her infant child. Christy writes of her deep grief over the long days of heartache and despair. She tells a story of one of her birthdays after the loss of their child. She writes about her birthday cake that was given to her, that was put in front of her by friends, and that this cake had sparklers on it. And how all of a sudden, she wanted to dance, and she wanted to run through the fields, but she was afraid to. Afraid that it was too soon, and afraid that she didn't have the strength. But she got up from that table, and she took two of the sparklers, and she ran into the nearby empty space. Christy writes this, "If you risk dancing again after you know have known death or a wild place, then there's no longer anything abstract about the resurrection of Jesus. And if you risk singing again, then the darkness has not stolen your voice. In suffering, we are called together to let the resurrection play out. May we sing, may we dance, may we trust that God is in the wild places doing a good work. What would it take for you, what would it take for me to say in the midst of our wilderness experiences, gratitude, you are welcome here today. Grief, you are welcome here today. Hope, you are welcome here today. Mystery, you are welcome here today. And God, you are welcome here today. Let us pray. God of our wild places, God that promises us that in the mighty waters we will not drown and in the fires we will not be burned, God, would you help us to trust that you are making a new way, something good, something refreshing, a river in the dry places. Thank you that you show up. And as we take the time and the space and the act of waiting, we know that you will be revealed to us. Thank you for your resurrection. Amen.
Let's stand together. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God.
Laid down to surrender now. I give you everything.
will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
As we close this morning, I'm going to offer a benediction from the words that Dana wrote. If you find yourself waiting for dreary days to lift, may you know that you are not alone. May you have the courage to reach out to someone who can buoy you for now. May you look toward the day when the blossoms will return for you too. May Easter find you. May the resurrection sneak up and absolutely surprise you. And may it be soon. Go in God's hope and peace. You are welcome to come forward for prayer if that would be meaningful for you this morning. And you're invited to stay for refreshments. Amen.